You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hope you had a great weekend, everybody. It's hour two, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. I'm not sure if we're going to get this Ravens-Steelers game in. According to Adam Schefter moments ago, the NFL canceled the Ravens practice this morning. There's also issues with travel, snow in the forecast for Tuesday morning in Pittsburgh. Other than that, I don't know. Let's move it to Wednesday now. Wednesday afternoon. Best and worst of the weekend. We'll get to your phone calls coming up as we always do. I had some Big Ten news from a source yesterday. Strong speculation Northwestern versus Minnesota, Ohio State versus Michigan State will get canceled. That would eliminate Ohio State from the conference championship. And my source said, they'll be desperate, but a high number of players will be missing. Ohio State is going to try to play, even if they're down top guys. That's from a source yesterday. All right, some news over the weekend. I mean, it's one of those strange, strange weekends. And you keep saying, well, it can't get any stranger. Well, it did. Certainly what happened in Denver. Mike Tyson back in the ring. You had some interesting football matchups here. And we're not even sure what we're going to have coming up tomorrow. The Cowboys get blown out. The Cowboys looked horrible. And this is one of those where it's a standalone game and everybody gets to watch just how bad you are. And then they start to pile on. And Dallas, I don't know what they're going to start smashing now. From watermelons, what are you going to do next, Mike McCarthy? Because those tricks, they ain't working. You're getting smashed is what's happening. You're the watermelon, Dallas. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. The Jags have fired their GM, Dave Caldwell. The Lions cleaned house as well. And this is one of those situations where I looked at the Jags and I go, so at what point does Shad Khan, the owner of the Jags, go, nope, that's it, I'm firing you now? Dave Caldwell was the GM. He was there for 8 years. They lost 12 games, 13 games, 11 games, 13 games, 6 games, 11 games, 10 games, 10 games in his 8 years. How do you keep your job? I love loyalty. I'm all about loyalty. But I'm not about stupidity. You know, after a while, you go, wait, is it me or is it them? 12, 13, 11, 13, 6, 11, 10, and 10. Those are the losses in his 8 years as the GM. Wow. Doug Marrone, he's not going to be around there much longer either. The Lions with Matt Patricia. You know, you start to look at the Lions and you go, okay, they haven't won a playoff game in 29 years. Matt Patricia, the body is still warm, and everybody's bailing on him now. But I have to look at Matthew Stafford. I mean, at some point you say, as we do with any team, any marquee quarterback, you go, how is he in the big games? How is he in the playoffs? The Lions haven't won a division title in Matt Stafford's 12 years. They haven't won a playoff game. They haven't hosted one in Stafford's 12 years. Maybe he needs a change of scenery as well. That's something that people should understand as well. I said it last year, and I had some people in Detroit said I was crazy to think it, and I said I didn't think it. I was told it. The Lions were interested in Tua Tagovailoa. And they were going to have him, and Matthew Stafford was going to be the quarterback, and then Tua was going to take over. But what I was told by my source, that Matt Patricia, that he knew he was on the clock, and if they did not win this year, he was not going to survive. Therefore, they took Jeff Okuda, a defensive back. And they put themselves in that situation because Matt Patricia didn't get along with Darius Slay. So then you have to bring somebody in to replace him in the secondary. And now what do you have? You're in no man's land. You're irrelevant. You're not any good. I mean, the Jets are relevant. I mean, they're horrible, but they're relevant because they're going to get the number one pick in the draft. Like, you can't even be good at being bad. And now you missed out on your quarterback. You got Matthew Stafford there. He is a salary cap number next year, almost $35 million. And even if you trade him, there's one of those dead salary cap hits of $25 million. But if I'm Matthew Stafford, if I'm the Lions, that's one of those where you have a mutual parting, where it's truly mutual. You know, it's like, you know, Paulie and I joke about this when somebody says, oh, it was amicable, it was a mutual parting. So that is, we walk into the same room and then I go, I'm going to go.
And I'm gone. I'm out.
I'm thinking about leaving.
You're gone.
You're gone. But I'm... Okay, there's no mutual parting, but this is a mutual parting in Detroit. It truly should be with Matthew Stafford and the Detroit Lions. You move on from Matt Patricia, and who are you bringing in? What are you bringing in? And is it going to change the fortunes of the Detroit Lions? Looks like they're going to finish fourth again in the NFC North. How many times have they finished fourth? They're headed for their third straight fourth place finish in the NFC North. Seven straight year outside the NFL's top 10 yardage teams. Maybe I bring in an offensive guy, an offensive-minded guy. Maybe something like that. If you're basing this off of Matthew Stafford's my quarterback, maybe I lean towards an offensive-minded guy coming in instead of Matt Patricia. All right, poll question, McLovin, what do you have for me?
So our one was, are you okay with the NFL expanding to 16 playoff teams? And 64% said yes as of right now.
Okay. Why not do this?
I don't know. I think more money. I feel like the NFL, why not add a week 18? We're just going to be watching football till the end of February. Feels like a win-win money-wise.
I just, you know, a lot of this has to do with ego. It always feels like with the NFL, like we're the NFL. Nobody tells us what to do. We decide what to do. And we keep thinking, well, why not just add an extra week? Why not add an extra playoff team in the NFC and AFC? Everybody would be fine with it. And plus, we could ensure that Tom Brady gets into the playoffs. I'm watching that game yesterday, and I'm going, wait, it's 17. I swear. It felt like I got up and got a beer. And by the time I came back, and I looked up, and I went, wait, what happened here? It was 17-0. And then I realized, you know, maybe not man coverage on Tyreek Hill. Maybe not man coverage. Maybe a little zone. We'll check in with the Buccaneers coming up. By the way, here is Tom Brady after the game.
Hey, Tom, as you guys head to your bye week, there's been some folks that have had some chatter about, you know, you still look like you're running someone else's offense. One of your former teammates even said on TV that he thinks that you need a new head coach. What do you make of all that noise?
No, it's just the external noise that when you're losing, you know, that's what you deal with. So, you know, I love playing for the guys that I play with, the coaches, the whole organization's been unbelievable. And I think we just got to go out and I certainly have to do a better job the last 4 weeks of the year.
All right. Nothing to see here. Everything's good there, right? This, if I'm the rest of the NFL, I take note of this response from Patrick Mahomes talking about the city of Tampa Bay.
Can you get a familiarity with the stadium, with the process of going to the hotel and the city? And that's definitely something that eases your mind when you try to get to the Super Bowl. If you know you've been in this place before and you understand what kind of the pregame and stuff like that happens. And then to be the good football team, that's a really good football team with a lot of talented players. That's a great thing about football and the NFL is you build and build and try to execute and be the best at the end of the season.
Okay, let me translate here. Patrick Mahomes basically said that was a site survey. They went to Tampa for a site survey. We got this game, but I want to see how it looks, the city, the accommodations. How about we do a walkthrough here? It felt like the first quarter was a walkthrough. It's 17-0. And they go, has everybody seen enough of the Tyreek, have you seen enough of the state? Oh, you've seen enough of the end zone. I think the Buccaneers tried to tire him out. I think that's what they did, right? Can you go, how do we tire this guy out? How about we let him get like 200 yards in the first quarter, and then we'll stage our comeback? And it almost worked, by the way. Here is Andy Reid talking about Tyreek Hill.
We feel like he's a pretty good matchup anywhere, I mean, with anybody. So he's, you know, he's strong and quick and fast, and he can catch, so... The quarterback trusts him. Now, I'm not going to tell you, they were banged up a little bit at the corner position, so I'm not sure that helped Bruce at all. But, I mean, listen, I would put him against anybody. I mean, he's been doing this all year.
Yeah, that's why I'd probably have two guys on him, or I'd have a zone or something. I'd have somebody who was so deep that he couldn't run past us. That's where I would start with him. But as far as Tampa goes, Tampa's just an average team right now. Now, I don't think there's anything special about them. I like their defense, but that defense got toasted there early. And I know we still have a lot of football left to be played. But I need to see some consistency, because if this plays out as Tony Romo thinks is going to happen, we could see these two teams back together. Well, Tampa's going to be on the road in the postseason. They have to win every game. So they'd have to win a game maybe in Green Bay or Seattle or Los Angeles or one of the teams in... How about my New York Giants? I told you to keep an eye on those Giants.
You did?
The first place... Yes. Yes. I said, hey, they play hard. And they do. And they're in first place. They're going all the way. And then you got Seattle tonight against Philadelphia. I hope Jalen Hurts gets to play. And I hope he's either really good or really bad. Because if he's somewhere in between, nothing gets settled here in Philadelphia. Yes, McLevin.
Carson Wentz is going to ball out. Oh, I'm calling it right now. He hasn't been that bad, by the way. It's just the media is jumping all over him. He's got a makeshift line, receivers that are undrafted, free agents.
Over, under, 2.5 touchdown passes, Carson Wentz.
Oh, not that good. Don't get me wrong.
Wait, he can't even Mitchell Trubisky, the Seahawks defense?
Well, the Seahawks defense is bad, right? But I feel like they're getting their act together.
They played better. They have played better recently. Absolutely. All right, phone calls, best and worst of the weekend. Paul in Iowa leads us off this hour. We'll check in with the Buccaneers coming up. Hey, Paul, best and worst of the weekend.
Hey, Dan, best of the weekend, Iowa State Cyclones go down to Texas, get the win, guaranteeing their first ever spot in Big 12 championship game. And worst of the weekend, seeing Nate Robinson hit the mat like a duck with birdshot. That was rough.
Yes, it was. Chris Mannix, who covers boxing as well as basketball, is going to join us in about a half hour. About, I think they had a draw, so there's a rematch here with Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. I don't know if anybody asked for it, but it feels like... That's one of those, if you ask Roy Jones Jr. privately, do you want to get back in there? No. Oh, no. I'm a one and done. But if somebody asks you publicly, yeah, I'll get back in there with him. You know, back to Texas. Tom Herman's in trouble. Vandy in South Carolina, those jobs open. Texas, Michigan, Auburn, Tennessee... There's going to be some really big openings here in college football coming up. Doug in New Jersey. Hi, Doug. What's on your mind?
Morning, Dan. First of all, 68260. Want to give you my best and worst. We're going a little action on Saturday action with your University of Buffalo Bulls offensive line doing something. I'm stealing this a little bit from Paulie. But the offensive line, they ran the ball 54 times for 515 yards with 10 touchdowns. The worst is the defense for the Bulls, giving up 578 yards to Kent State Flashes in what was a basketball score of 70-41.
All right. Well, thank you, Doug. Jeff in Detroit. Hey, Jeff.
What up, though, Dan? One time for chat row. Best of the weekend, of course, you know. I love Houston whooping us up on Thanksgiving and getting Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn fired. Like you said, it's going to be kind of hard figuring out which way to go right now, because I'm looking at Matt Stafford. If he goes somewhere else, he'll be a perfect fit somewhere else. He'll end up winning somewhere else. You don't want to let him go, but then you don't want to keep him. I also have a pretty good question for you.
All right.
Which one of these three Super Bowl winning quarterbacks which one of these three Super Bowl winning quarterbacks needs a second ring more, and who gets it first? Aaron Rodgers, or Aaron Rodgers as we call him, Russell Wilson, or Drew Brees?
What was going on in the background?
Oh, I had cut the TV on by mistake. I tried to cut everything off.
Okay.
So I could, you know.
Okay, so which one of these Super Bowl winning quarterbacks gets a chance to win another one? So it's Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, and
and Drew Brees. And, who needs a ring? Who needs that second ring more? And who will get it first?
Oh, all right. Well, thank you, Jeff. I think Rodgers, a second ring would really, really help out. Because Russell was not moving up that list of he's an all-time great. We look at Aaron Rodgers as an all-time great. But it's been a long time since he won a Super Bowl. Drew Brees, I don't know if we move Drew Brees up that much with his second Super Bowl ring. It feels like we would move Aaron Rodgers up a little bit further. And if he's doing it where he's not just holding on like Peyton Manning did for that last one, that he is truly the star of the show. And that's not a shot at you, Todd.
It's not.
No.
Seems like a
no, it's not. It's not, by the way. It's great having you in studio here. We got some of the Danettes on remote. Seton's got his Christmas tree up. I don't know how Todd... I came in this morning and I go, hey, Todd.
He goes, it's a little weird.
Yeah, I sound,
the whole situation's very bizarre.
I didn't mean to sound surprised, but I was surprised. But it was a good surprise the more I thought of it because I was going to be alone here in the man cave.
And can't have you alone. That's kind of depressing on the holidays.
Yeah. No, but it's nice that you're here. Yeah, Seton.
And it's like, you know, you've known each other for almost 20 years. Why would it be awkward to say hi? But it was. For some reason, it was like, oh, hey, it's
hey,
just us.
Todd.
How was Thanksgiving?
I know. Now I'm forced every time I walk by.
Yeah, small talk.
I know.
Small, awkward chat.
I know. Go ahead.
17 years together.
Yeah. So anything changed in the last 10 minutes that I came over here,
Todd? I have a wife and kids. Hear about this Raven-Steel game? Crazy, right? Are they going to play? Are they not going to play? All right. I got a show to do. I'll talk
to you. See you later, Todd. I'll see you during the next commercial break there. McLovin, you doing something different with your hair?
What do you mean?
No, it looks like coiffed.
I keep on going like this for some reason.
Yeah,
you can't see that.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. It looks like professionally done. Did your wife do your hair today?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, but here's the thing. I can see myself the whole show, so I'm like I'm primping the entire show.
Yes, Paul.
Dan, I got a question. A couple people on the Twitter are asking if you were hitting the weights, maybe hitting the gym during the break. They say you look a little swole under that flannel. Anything to report?
The flannel is a little large, I think. This is one
But you're filling it out, right?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm filling the sleeves right now, but this is Cabela Bass Pro, one of my flannels that I got there.
The swole edition?
That's the section.
You did step away into the field house. That could have been a little power pump.
No.
Commercial break.
I have never done a power pump before.
I've done that many times.
I know
you
have.
Guys can attest to that.
I have never done a power pump. I had nothing to pump. It was, you know, I'm wiry. I'm sinewy. Is that right, McLovin? Sinewy?
Yeah, definitely. You never at ESPN went down to the corporate gym and before a big sports center or anything?
Well, we didn't have a corporate gym. That part of the bar. We had a racquetball court. That's all we had at ESPN.
Racquetball? What decade was this?
We had a racquetball court. I went to management, and we had a Gold's Gym next to ESPN. And I said to management, how about we put a basketball hoop outside, maybe full court? I can get somebody to install a putting green free of charge. And why don't we buy the Gold's Gym? They looked at me like, are you kidding me? We don't have that kind of money. And I'm thinking, well, I work on a show that made $400 million last year, SportsCenter. And then eventually I come back and then they buy Gold's Gym and they put up full court basketball court. They didn't do the putting green. But I said, how about you do something where people go to work early and stay late? And that's what I did here with the man cave.
So that's your fault.
Oh,
the whole work-life balance thing. Remember, we would have all of these meetings at the mothership about, hey, work-life balance. Guys, take time for yourself, okay? Your family's important. You can't be here all day, but if you are here all day, there's Starbucks over there.
That's
there's
me.
Daycare over here.
Yep.
There's that was your fault.
I absolutely guilty as
work-life
charged.
Work-life balance, guys.
Good. Yeah, Paul.
I remember when we did get the basketball court between where the radio department was and where the place where you eat, the cafeteria. And it was really nice. And I think we had Bryce Drew in studio, the former great shooter for Valpo.
Yeah.
And he was outside and he was helping out with the coverage. And so he has a suit and tie, like an IFB in his ear and a mic. And you guys are shooting and he's missing some of his threes. And he goes to you, one of the great shooters in basketball history. You know, it's really tough to shoot with a suit on. And you hit a shot. You go, not for all of us. And you walked away.
Oh, what a jerk I am. All right, we'll check in with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. More phone calls, best and worst of the weekend. I gave you the Big Ten news. I'm trying to find any other information, any updates. I'm trying to see if somebody refutes what I reported. But Ohio State's going to fight this because Ohio State could be left out of the national title picture. If the Buckeyes game against Michigan State gets canceled, and my source said strong speculation, Northwestern versus Minnesota, Ohio State versus Michigan State will get canceled. That would eliminate Ohio State from the conference championship. My source goes on to say, so they'll be desperate, but high number of players missing. Ohio State's going to try to play even if they're down top guys. Take a break. More phone calls coming up. Is everything okay with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? We'll find out next here on the Dan Patrick Show. You know what I did? I surprised everybody. I got a Thanksgiving bouquet. I was the star. Just my family, just my wife and my kids, and we got together for Thanksgiving, and somebody got a hold of 1-800-Flowers.com, and, you know, I had the bouquet, and then I played it really, I was coy, because they were like, who sent the bouquet? And then there was no note on there, and then one of my daughters said, did you send the bouquet? And I go, yes. I said, "But and feel free to spread that around that I sent the bouquet," and then she started telling everybody. So, got brownie points there. You can do this for Christmas. You love the holiday flower tree, other festive arrangements guaranteed to get there and get you in the holiday spirit. 1-800-FLOWERS. To order the holiday flower tree or other Christmas flower arrangements, go to 1-800-FLOWERS.com. You'll see the radio icon. Enter code Patrick. Order today and save at 1-800-Flowers.com, and make sure you use the code Patrick. Good luck. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com, or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. I was noticing this about the NFC East. The four teams are combined 14-28-1, and in the next 7 days, they're underdogs in every game they play. Seattle at Philadelphia. Seattle's the favorite. Next week, Philadelphia will be at Green Bay. They'll be an underdog. Washington will be at Pittsburgh. The Giants will be at Seattle. Dallas at Baltimore, assuming Baltimore gets some of its players back. The leader of the NFC East could enter week 14 with a 4-8 record. I believe it was back in September when I said to Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times, we're probably going to know in November just how good this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team is. Well, it's late November, Rick. I don't know if we know how good this Tampa Bay team is. Thanks for joining us. Where do you think they stand in the pantheon of NFC teams right now?
They're the masters of meh. They're just not very good. You know, they're average or a little bit above. Look, they played some tough teams, right? The last couple of weeks, I mean, they had a couple of three-point games against the Rams and then the Chiefs. And they just haven't started games well. I think they've been outscored like 49-7 in the first quarter of their last four games. And when you start games like that, when you don't convert third downs, I mean, yesterday they had one conversion in the first four series. And, you know, they've added so many pieces, Dan. Antonio Brown. There was this blitz early in the game where you can see, you know, Brown just goes out and he doesn't recognize the blitz. And you know, Brady's yelling. It's like Vince Vaughn in The Wedding Crashers. Hot route, you know. It's like, I don't know what you mean. What's a hot route? Like, so it's just been kind of grab bag like that. And you know, they've got a bye week. They need it and they got to get it together.
But you have more questions about the offense or defense?
I got more questions about the offense because I think they go hand in hand. I think when and look, we can get into Todd Bowles' brilliant scheme of trying to cover Tyreek Hill one-on-one, which, hey,
wow.
I haven't watched a lot of football, but I know I wouldn't try that.
Wow.
And I wouldn't let it go, you know, guy do 200 yards in the first quarter. But I really do think that it's, you know, when you're playing a team that can score like Kansas City or, for that matter, like the Rams – you know, you have to make first downs. You can't hang those guys out to dry. And in both games, they made adjustments on defense and allowed them with some turnovers to get back in those games. So it's really complimentary football, and the offense isn't complimenting anybody right now.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure this team out. And when I saw Tyreek Hill get loose, and I go, okay, they're going to shore that up. And then he got loose again. And then he got loose again. And then again. And I go, am I the only guy here saying maybe not single coverage, man-to-man, that maybe we should have two guys on him? Or how about our center fielder is so deep that there's no chance he could get behind him? Did they figure out how to – maybe Tyreek Hill was too tired after the first quarter, but did the defense – did they figure out a little bit more of a game plan on what to do against Kansas City? Should they meet again?
I hope so. I mean, I think, to be honest with you, when you talk to them, they were, believe it or not, a little more concerned with Travis Kelce. So when they were playing single high, he was shading towards the tight end. That's just a bad plan, and I don't know why they didn't adjust sooner. The first play is a 34-yard completion that nobody covered him. So how you hide the fastest guy in the NFL, I don't know. I felt sorry for Carlton Davis. Look, Todd Bowles has done some good things this year. That wasn't one of them for sure. But then they dialed up some pressure, I think, on Mahomes. Man, that guy's great, though. Even when you get there, he just keeps backing up, and he throws the ball 25 yards on a dime, and it's just impressive to watch. So they definitely need a better game plan against the Chiefs if they were to see him. But then they'd be happy to see him because it would be the Super Bowl, right?
Okay, I think that I'm going to play this Patrick Mahomes bite. And you were there, but just to let the fans hear this, I thought Patrick Mahomes did a site survey of the Super Bowl. You know, you go down there just in case you're going to be playing in the Super Bowl. Here's Patrick Mahomes on getting familiar with Tampa.
You get a familiarity with the stadium, with the process of going to the hotel and the city. And that's definitely something that eases your mind when you try to get to the Super Bowl. If you know you've been in this place before and you understand what kind of the pregame and stuff like that happens. And then to beat a good football team, that's a really good football team with a lot of talented players. That's a great thing about football and the NFL is you build and build and try to execute and be the best at the end of the season.
What? That it was like they did a walkthrough and they won an NFL game.
He is so going back. he knows he's going back. And, you know, he probably did scout out the restaurants while he was here. Wow. I did see him come out earlier than I've seen most quarterbacks. Now, maybe this is his routine. You know, I mean, Brady gets to the stadium about 4.5 hours before the game and walks around in his street clothes. But Mahomes did survey the field. I mean, he went end to end with really very little players out there.
He did that during the game too, Rick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If I said to you, Tampa now or the Saints with Taysom Hill, who do you like?
Oh, Tampa. Well, wow, that's a good one. It's hard to beat Sean Payton and Taysom Hill. I think by the end of the season, the Bucs may get it together, especially these last 4 weeks. So, but right now, you'd have to take the Saints, right? They're a better team than the Bucs. I mean, they beat them twice convincingly. I know they had Drew Brees in one. But, I guess I would go Saints. And look, 2020 continuity, Dan. I mean, look at the teams that are winning, right? Teams that have coach and quarterback for the most part are systems that have been together, whether it's the AFC, the NFC. I don't think that's a surprise. And I think, you know, with Brady, I heard you talk to Peter King earlier. He's right. He wants that time to be with his guys, and he just hasn't been, and now they've added some more pieces.
Is everything okay, though, with Brady and Bruce Arians? I mean, Brady knew what he was getting himself into, but did he really know what he was getting himself into?
Well, like, you know, win or lose, we booze, man. I mean, it's like I think he knew. He had to have talked to Peyton Manning and those guys. I know everybody asks me every time Bruce Arians calls him out, you know, how can you do this to Tom Brady? And I would just say that, like, if Brady didn't know that, then he did no research. I mean, and I think there's a part of Brady, not that he likes to have to field questions from us about it, but that, you know, he wants the other guys on his team to see that he's being held as accountable as everybody else. I mean, that's big for Tom. Tom wants to assimilate into the team. So I know that apparently Tony Romo was all over Arians' offense. I'm not naive to think that, like, I agree with you. They probably had a discussion. And there is a desire of Tom for them to move closer to what he wants to do. But in Bruce's offense, Tom's getting hit a lot. And nobody likes to get hit because he gets so many guys out. They're going to have to make some adjustments with protection because when he has it, he's very, very good.
He's Rick Stroud. He covers the Buccaneers, covers the NFL, Tampa Bay Times writer. I'm looking at this Steeler-Raven situation, and I don't know what else can they do? They canceled the Ravens practice this morning. They got snow in the forecast tomorrow in Pittsburgh. They're not sure about traveling. They got a depleted roster there. Feels like the NFL is somehow, some way going to get this game in. But should they?
Well, I mean, we just saw him play a game with no quarterbacks. I mean, they really, you know, it seems to me like the NFL's whole goal is play the season. We don't care. We don't want to miss any games if we can avoid that. And we'll see who shows up in Tampa. I mean, I really believe that. I don't think they mind. They've warned these teams. It's going to happen. We're waiting for the first cancellation. Maybe this is it. I mean, this game was supposed to be played almost a week ago. But COVID is a problem, so much so that Bruce Arians really is concerned. The one message he left his team with after the game was, hey, forget about everything else. Don't let the virus beat us, because these teams come off of bye weeks, and very often that's usually what starts to spread.
Yeah, and I wonder if the NFL really wants to get a team's attention. It's not fining a team $500,000 and taking away a seventh-round draft pick. When you forfeit a game and you lose a paycheck, now all of a sudden people realize, oh my gosh, there's a whole lot at stake here. But in the interim, it just feels like, you know, we're going to plow through it somehow, some way.
Well, and I don't know, you know, what the TV contract says and whether you're giving money back to the networks if you cancel the game or not. But I imagine there's some financial stake there. So, yeah, they're going to play. Look, we've seen the league play with plan B, with scab players before, and they played with, you know, this league has a history of just playing games. So I don't think that's going to change. But, yeah, at some point you wonder just how much watered down is the product going to be.
And you get a bye week for the Buccaneers, so everybody gets to talk about this loss. It feels like it's going to be two losses after everybody gets through dissecting what went wrong.
Yeah, it really will. And there'll be more heat dialed up on Bruce Arians. But the fact is that they've got the Vikings, who, if they beat Jacksonville, could put themselves back in it, winning 5 out of 6. But then it's Atlanta twice. You know, Raheem Morris has done a good job there. And then they got Detroit. So those are four games, Dan, that they should be favored in. The Vikings is at home. If they win 3 out of 4, they're going to make the playoffs. Right now, they're still, the sixth seed. They would probably go to Green Bay, which they've beaten, which would be a nice climate for them. But you know, look, if we thought they were going to run the table and be the number one seed in the NFC, we were kidding ourselves. I still think there's a lot for them to play for. And I'm not giving up. I don't think anybody should give up on Tom Brady just yet.
Great to talk to you again, Rick. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Dan.
That's Rick Stroud, covers the NFL, Tampa Bay Times writer. I think we always check in with Rick when the Buccaneers are doing poorly. We never get to check in with him when they're doing well. But this whole... You know, Peter King brought up something interesting. And I said, look, Tom Brady knew what he was getting with Bruce Arians. This is who Bruce is. And Bruce has been around some marquee quarterbacks. Now, not usually as the head coach, he'd be an offensive coordinator. But when you think about it, Brady had the Chargers, the Bears, and the Buccaneers. Those were his three options. And I know, you know, I surprised people when I broke that news that the Bears were the other team in there. He didn't want to go to the West Coast. I'm not sure why he would be interested in Chicago, but I think, you know, proximity to his son, who lives with his mother in New York City, that was important to him. He didn't want to be on the West Coast, was not going to be able to see his son. And then you had Tampa Bay. Well, Tampa Bay, you're going into the NFC. You got a lot of weapons there. Offensive-minded head coach, likes to throw the ball deep, and we thought this is perfect for Tom Brady. I don't think that we factored in Bruce Arians' personality. I don't know if Bruce takes as much blame as he probably should, because it feels like whenever it goes wrong, it's Tom's fault. But if they do well, then, hey, it's the Buccaneers who did well. And it as much as, you know, I can look at what Tom is doing and it's not great, but I think you have receivers who it feels like don't adapt when they're supposed to, or they're not quite sure what they're supposed to do when they're supposed to do it. And Brady's used to that because he's always got those receivers. He's around those receivers. It's the same system, same style, same type of receivers that he usually gets, interchangeable names. But this, you got some, you know, Godwin and Evans are really high-end talented. Throw in Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown strikes me as the guy who gets in and he just runs real fast, but he's not quite sure where he's running, but he's running real fast. And you go, I think he might have ran the wrong route there. Hey, Tom did it. Yeah, Paul.
And also Brady now has to deal with a coach who talks, who does interviews. We've had Arians on twice this season. We've asked for him twice. We got him twice. He talks every week. Yeah. He does interviews with the mothership. Belichick, he's not coming on ever. He's not giving you anything, and he's especially not going to give you anything to rip on his quarterback. You know, whatever relationship Brady and Belichick had, Belichick never fueled it.
No, and he, you know, whenever they made a mistake or they lost a game, it was, we're on to Cincinnati. He was never going to throw Tom under the bus. And subsequently, Tom, I don't think, ever said anything about Belichick in that regard. Yeah, Steve.
Is it possible, though, that maybe things aren't nearly as broken as, it, like, kind of we're saying now? Though, I mean, like, they did only lose by 3 points last night, and they lost by 3 points the week before. But, I mean, it is the Chiefs.
Seton, what is wrong with you today?
Buzzkill.
Yeah, what are you doing? Like, how do we make, we're making this a bigger story than what it really should be, and then you're trying to diffuse it.
Yeah, that's true. That was a poor call on my part.
This is about content.
Yeah.
Like, you've been around long enough to know.
You're right.
Man.
It's probably a huge mistake for Brady to go there now that I think about
yes.
it.
Yes. Yes. See?
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry about
you're
that.
You're back.
Yeah. Well, ooh, yes. Yes, McLovin.
I'll give the hot take. This is what happens when you leave the AFC East, so you don't get 10 years of the easiest schedule on earth.
That's a fair point.
When we come back, we'll check in with Chris Mannix. Are we really going to have a rematch between Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr., or is somebody else going to step in there? We'll talk to – I thought Snoop Dogg was the star. Yeah, I don't know if you could use him for other sporting events, but I'd certainly entertain it. We'll talk some boxing, Mike Tyson, yes, from this weekend, and Chris Mannix will join us. Final hour, we'll check in with Maurice Jones-Drew of the NFL Network. More phone calls as well coming up. Best and worst of the weekend, we'll give you ours. We're back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app. I had very low expectations with Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr. exhibition. When they attached exhibition to it, I went, okay, maybe they'll dance around a little bit. And then Mike got in there, and you could tell that Mike, you know, he wanted to put on a little bit of a show there. Chris Mannix covers the NBA and boxing for Sports Illustrated. So who came away the biggest winner in that fight on Saturday night?
Oh, I think Mike Tyson did. I was with you. Extremely low expectations coming in. But Tyson was in great shape. And he was throwing punches that, if they connected cleanly, they could have knocked Roy Jones out. And that was really the biggest source of entertainment from it. I mean, Roy looked like he hadn't been like in an Equinox for the last 3 years. Whereas Mike, for 8 rounds... looked like he was in shape. I mean, I don't know if you watched all the way through, Dan, at the interview where Jim Gray's talking to Roy and he's talking about a rematch and he's still gasping. And this was like 10 minutes after the fight was over, whereas Mike is like bouncing around and, saying he's going to do this again. This was a much better event than I expected. It had everything to do with Tyson.
Could Tyson get back in the ring and fight legitimately? No.
No, under no circumstances.
Okay.
He can swing wildly and try to connect on Roy Jones, but the volume of punching isn't there. The power certainly isn't there for a real heavyweight. He goes in with, let's use Anthony Joshua as an example, it ends in a really bad way. So, look, if he wants to go on, like, the Mike Tyson revenge tour and fight, like, Evander Holyfield, next year, and then fight Lennox Lewis the year after that, and maybe cap it off in... with Danny Williams, who knocked him out right before the end, Kevin McBride. I mean, go ahead. I mean, that I think would do not the kind of business this one probably did, but it would be okay. But I think everyone in Tyson's orbit understands, and Tyson too, that you stay away from real fights.
Yeah, Paulie brought this up, I think, on Wednesday, that how would Tyson, what if he got in with Tyson Fury? And I go, oh, no, Paulie, that would be so, it would be ugly.
Oh, man.
Yeah, because...
I mean, Fury, Dan, is 6'9", and he just pepper Mike to death with... Fury's the kind of guy, and I know him a little bit, like, he wouldn't go out there and try to hurt Mike Tyson, but it would just be however many rounds of Fury just ricocheting his jab off Tyson's head it wouldn't be entertaining.
I like that everybody came out of the woodworks after this YouTube sensation Jake Paul knocks out poor Nate Robinson. Now everybody wants to fight Jake Paul. Jake Paul have actual boxing talent?
I said this for weeks leading up to that fight, that Nate Robinson was making a mistake. I actually broadcasted Jake Paul's first fight. He did it back in January in a YouTube fight on DAZN. And look, Jake's not a real fighter, but Jake can fight a little bit. And look, he's trained by BJ Flores, who's a former boxer. He's been doing this for a while. Nate is just, look, Nate's a phenomenal athlete. Maybe one of the great, sort of under 6 foot athletes ever, as a football player and a basketball player, but you don't play boxing, get said over and over again. And I said, he's going to get knocked out cold. And sure enough, he was. Now, the referee didn't do him any favors. Like, after that second knockdown, where Nate got up at 9 and then just started wandering around the ring blindly, any other fighter does that in a real fight, the referee waves it off. But they let Nate continue, and then like a minute later, he gets face-planted and becomes a meme. So, too bad for Nate. I feel bad for him because the referee didn't do him any favors.
I thought Snoop Dogg was the star. I don't know if you could see him do other sports commentary, but Snoop had a little fun.
Well, first of all, you can't do other sports commentary as stoned as Snoop was. Second, you can't swear as much as he did. And third, everything else was fine. Like, I mean, his comment about two uncles trying to get a barbecue was great. Like, I think he said something when Nate was unconscious. He's like, Nate's from the hood. He'll shrug that off. While Nate was down for 4 minutes, Snoop was awesome. But I think this kind of event is the only one that Snoop can do.
I don't know if they drug test you before you go into the booth, though. Just letting you know, Mannix.
Well, you'd have to ask Mike Breen next time you talk to him if there's any kind of marijuana test. I mean, maybe in boxing you can do it, but if Triller does this again, and look, this is a Mike Tyson league that just started, the Legends Only League, which incredibly has an acronym of LOL, which is just the worst acronym in the world. Like, supposedly there's going to be more of these, and Snoop should be a part of them.
What's Tyson's next fight?
Holyfield wants it. I talked to Evander a couple of months ago, and he thought he was going to get it. So I could see Tyson Holyfield 3 at the exhibition.
Oh, God. What year, what decade am I in? Hey, I know you're busy doing your NBA preview. We appreciate your time as always, Chris. Thank you.
Anytime, Dan.
That's Chris Mannix. Todd goes, Mannix, he was all alone on Thanksgiving.
He's in a hotel somewhere by himself and downplaying his interest in Thanksgiving. I don't know if he really feels that way or it's one of those ways you rationalize being alone in Thanksgiving and have to say, who cares about Turkey Day?
Yeah. I think you downplay it when you don't have anybody to spend Thanksgiving with. Because I don't know if it's one of those where you go, God, I love Thanksgiving. I'm so heartbroken. I had nobody to spend Thanksgiving with. That's usually where you go, yeah, it doesn't matter to me. Yeah.
It's like when everyone forgets your birthday. It's like a birthday. Who cares about a birthday? I didn't get any cards or gifts, so I'm going to just say birthdays don't matter.
Mannix all alone with a Ricky Rubio poster. Room service. Yeah, Paulie.
Pizza Hut and Bud Light and nobody else.
That doesn't sound bad. It doesn't. All right. More phone calls coming up. We'll give you our best and worst of the weekend right after this.